Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand. Marketing tools that get your products out there, and that's just the beginning. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go. Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you. Shopify, your all-in-one commerce platform.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com.au/listen.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Tuesday, the 23rd of June 2026, a day where the Australian share market fell, the S&P ASX 200 down a third of a percent. We'll have the details with Chris Breike from StockSpot in a few moments, including what the latest changes to SMSFs will mean for investors. But first, it'll soon be tax time, and while it may be tempting to rush to lodge and try to get a return sooner, doing so may actually delay processing. Last financial year, the Australian Taxation Office adjusted nearly 600,000 tax returns because many were lodged too early. Some didn't report all required income, overstated deductions and tax credits, for example. So the ATO is encouraging taxpayers to wait until late July when tax return forms are pre-filled. To tell us more, I spoke with ATO Assistant Commissioner Anita Challen. So Anita, truth or myth? The faster you lodge, the faster you potentially get a tax return.
Oh, that one's a myth, Ricardo. So in fact, what we find is that it is a common myth that many people think the earlier you lodge, the earlier you get your tax return, but that's not correct. And in fact, you're twice as likely to make a mistake if you lodge too early, and particularly before we have our all-important pre-fill data available. So the ATO puts information into your tax return for you if you wait a few weeks into July. That includes things like salary and wages, private health details, and also interest from bank accounts. It makes it much easier for you and, of course, less likely to make a mistake and have to do an amendment later on.
Okay, what kind of mistakes are you seeing?
Yeah, so there's a few different ones. The most common mistakes that we see are where perhaps you might forget to put some all-important income in your tax return. That's where the pre-fill comes into it. The other mistakes that we see are in relation to overclaiming work-related expenses and also mistakes when calculating working from home expenses. So there are three areas where usually they're genuine mistakes, but what that means is just by taking a little bit more care, a little bit more time, so don't rush to lodge, means you only have to do it once. And of course, I think everyone would prefer to only do their tax once if they could.
What's the sweet spot? How long should you wait to lodge and why? And that pre-fill, does it come through at the same time for everyone?
Yeah, great question. So the majority of pre-fill is available by the end of July. So if you just wait until the end of July, early August, you should be pretty comfortable that a lot of the data that we have will be included in your tax return for you. There are a couple of outliers though. So in some instances, if you're relying on taxable payment annual report data, so TPAR data, you may need to wait a little bit longer. That'll be pre-filled this year and you just wait until the end of August when those reports are due. And the other inclusion that we're expanding into this year is if you're a individual beneficiary of a closely held trust distribution, if the trust lodges its tax return first, we'll actually use that data to pre-fill your distribution in your tax return. So timing matters on a few of them, but for most people, end of July is the key date to wait for.
Okay, so if there's a week to go until the new financial year and around 5 weeks until that pre-fill information comes through, what can taxpayers do in the meantime?
Yeah, there's a few important key steps. If you haven't already, we'd strongly encourage you to download the ATO app and register it on your device. You can then use that to make sure all your personal information is up to date, Your bank account details are up to date for any refund that you might be hoping to receive. And you can also check your super information while you're in there as well. The other thing to do is get all your records together. So for any of those deductions that you're looking to include in your tax return, taking a bit of time now to bring together all of your record keeping, your receipts, that'll make it a lot smoother when it comes to completing your tax return and lodging once that pre-fill information is ready.
No doubt this is an important time to get advice, and it's important to talk about where people can get that advice. With the explosion in social media, you would assume you would see a lot of so-called finfluencers out there offering advice during tax time. Are you keeping an eye on this type of a thing, and are they becoming more prevalent?
Yeah, we absolutely are, Ricardo, and we're certainly seeing a growing number of different sorts of channels and different ways that people are getting their information. Things like AI and social media are great for certain things, but not always the best place to get your tax advice. We are asking taxpayers to be wary of misinformation. It is quite prolific at the moment, and it's best to get your information from verified sources, so always go directly to the ATO's website or the ATO app, or of course from a registered tax professional when it comes to getting your tax advice.
It's ATO Assistant Commissioner Anita Challen there. Let's go to the Australian share market now, where the S&P ASX 200 fell a third of a percent as investors monitored US-Iran peace talks. While the banks rose, the miners fell along with some energy stocks. WiseTech slumped another 4.3% today. It responded to media reports of an AFP investigation into its executive chair, Richard White, who says he isn't aware of that investigation, alleging involvement in human trafficking, which he emphatically and unequivocally denies. Tech was the worst performing sector on the market today, following heavy losses on the US-based NASDAQ. That includes SpaceX, which came back down to earth after a stratospheric debut, falling 16% overnight. For more on the day's market action, including the impact of the latest changes to tax reform, I spoke to StockSpot CEO Chris Breike. Chris, so another relatively flat day for the Australian share market ahead of key inflation data out tomorrow. What exactly is driving investor sentiment at the moment?
Well, I think the market's really just been in a bit of a holding pattern for the last couple of months. You know, you've seen all of the chaos in the Middle East come down a little bit. So investors have been a little bit more optimistic because of that. But then all of the budget measures, I think, are making investors concerned. And we're certainly seeing a few more clients sit on the sidelines waiting to see what pans out.
Yeah, okay. So let's go into that in more detail. The government has confirmed today its first tranche of tax reforms will pass the Senate with the support of the Greens, but it also comes with a crackdown on self-managed super funds to ban them essentially from borrowing to purchase residential properties and avoid the capital gains tax increase. How is all of this likely to flow through to the share market and impact investors?
Well, first of all, I think this carve-out for SMSFs isn't a big surprise to anyone that watched the Senate inquiry, because it was the line of inquiry that the Greens took, which was Senator McKim was asking a lot about SMSFs and whether this creates a loophole. So ultimately, the Greens and the government have decided together to not allow SMSFs to borrow for property. And what it means for the share market, well, if anything, it's probably positive for the share market, because SMSFs that used to invest into property will now need to look at other asset classes and other places like shares to invest to. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see more SMSFs buying ETFs and shares instead.
Over the longer term, though, what are the implications for investors and, I guess, the broader economy?
Well, I think this is where my broader concerns kind of arise around what could this mean for the longer term economy, because ultimately investment in our economy drives productivity, it drives innovation and wage growth. And if you tax investment more, and ultimately we're introducing now a minimum 30% tax on growth from investment, it's discouraging investment broadly in the economy. So what I wouldn't be surprised to see is more money flowing into the big stable businesses like the Commonwealth Banks and the BHPs, because they're paying stable dividends and they're not innovating, but they're at least distributing dividends. And unfortunately, less money into innovative sectors like biotechnology or healthcare or mining exploration, because those sectors are more risky.
Okay, so with all that in mind, I'm curious to know, what kind of questions are your clients asking you? What are you telling your clients, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Well, definitely since the capital gains tax announcement was made in the budget, clients have been asking what it means for their investment strategies. Should they be tailoring their strategies to be leaning less or more on capital gains? I mean, our view is generally not to ever base your investment approach on tax policy. Tax policy, of course, can change over many decades and generations, and a lot of our investors are long-term. And then to really focus on your total return, which is the combination of your capital growth and dividends. Now, if anything, these changes make direct share investing less appealing because you're not able to net off winners and losers as well. So investing into ETFs becomes more appealing. And you really just want to make sure you've got a great long-term strategy that you can hold on to for many years and you're not buying and selling, because that's where these new taxes are a bit more punitive.
That's Chris Breikew there from StockSpot, and he wraps up the podcast for this Tuesday. Don't forget to like it, give it a review and subscribe if you enjoyed. And remember, you can watch On The Money during the 6:30 weekday edition of SBS World News on SBS. The podcast returns tomorrow. It drops after the market close every weekday, and I'll catch you then.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decisions. This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Noor Haider here, one of the hosts of The Guardian's daily news podcast, Full Story. Every weekday, we go beyond the headlines, taking you closer to The Guardian's journalism. Listen to Full Story wherever you get your podcasts.